Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What up, baby?
Let's pop. Bucks Celtics, Jeff. Bucks Celtics.
What about Bucks Celtics?
Tatum, is Tatum on the same level as Giannis?
No. Why is that it? We should even ask that question.
Because of the chip?
How so, though?
Like, well, not only the chip. The dude had 50, 10, and 5
in
game 6 of the NBA Finals. I know we ask these hypothetical questions, and this is no disrespect to Jason Tatum. He's one of the top players in the NBA. But the names are not even in the same breath. They're not in the same sentence. And the historic performance that Giannis put on to lead his team to an NBA Finals, Key, is just so different considering, you know, injuries and things that have occurred. I mean, do you remember the knee injury that he had in that game? Do you remember where his knee, he came down on his knee? He came back in that game. It's nowhere close. And it's just different.
Those defining moments in the finals. He won and Tatum lost, right? And Tatum had a bad championship series. So I don't know that it's definitive like that, though, Jay. You would know, obviously, more than me because of the NBA experience and understanding it a little more than me. But I just, you know, when you look at the championship or you look at the numbers are somewhat, you know, points per game are close. But one guy had a memorable championship on the winning side and one had a memorable one on the losing side.
Yeah, but it's not more than that, Key. It's that one guy's team won because he had an all-time great
finals. And one
the other
team
guy's team lost
because of him.
Yes.
That's why I just said he had a bad run. Mm-hmm. His bad run was the reason they lost. Had he played like he played in the regular season, they win.
Right. Or even try
to elevate.
Or at least
you think they win.
Right, or you know? at least if he went out like that, he went out swinging, right?
So but you still feel like Jason Tatum's career. I mean, look, Giannis is 28. Jason Tatum's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a 3-year difference.
And
so,
when Giannis was younger, it was like, can he ever win a championship?
Exactly. Right. So there's still a lot more to be revealed. But like, Giannis is one of the most dominant players the game of basketball has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
No, people still haven't figured out how to stop Giannis going to the rack.
No, you can't stop that
game,
dude.
He had one shot outside the paint. That game, that 50, 10, and 5, he had one shot. One outside the paint. So you know it's coming, and you still can't stop it.
Man, there's a reason Shaq said.
But I think even with that, though, Jay, what you just said, I still think he's in the same tier. The same tier. Doesn't mean he's at the top of the tier. He's in that same tier, though. Because that same tier is what, the top 6 players in the NBA?
Oh, you could say in the same tier as top 6 players, but I still think there's a pretty big gap between
I understand that, but I'm saying
players, right? Like,
I'm saying
there's a gap
question
between Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant. There's a gap between LeBron James and Jason Tatum. There's still a gap between Giannis and Jason Tatum.
There's a higher tier than what Tatum's on.
He's in that tier, though. He's in that bucket of those players that you're talking about.
Jay's saying no.
I think LeBron James, I think Kevin Durant, I think Giannis are different tiers.
Embiid and Jokic. Tatum in the Embiid-Jokic tier?
No.
So the one thing about Tatum is he's become a two-way player as his career has progressed. But let me ask you this, Jay, because you brought up Giannis. You've been on this Jokic is going to win the MVP. And I was like, I don't know, Embiid and other people. You were like, Giannis might be the MVP, right?
I mean, since January 23rd, I mean, they're 25-4.
Let me tell you something.
Before we get, I just want to make one statement because I have to do it today.
For a fact.
Because it's the only time you will hear his name mentioned today, which is blasphemy. Mm-hmm. The best player in the NBA nobody talks about is Jrue Holiday, who had 51.
And is a lockdown defender.
And Chris Middleton didn't play because he missed the first game of a back-to-back, and he's playing tonight against the Celtics. They are a top 3 duo in the league that nobody's ever going to make mention of their name. And you still think it goes Chris Middleton? It's Jrue Holiday, Giannis.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Hold on a sec. Because sometimes when you get that third guy, it muddies it. It's right. It's like, oh, this is really a trip. But let me get back to this. So You were talking about how it might be Giannis's MVP. You know what I think has happened recently, which is nuts? So Tim Bontemps comes out with a straw poll for MVP.
It was trending last night, by the way.
Jokic is running away with it. To me, the fact that he was not just winning it, but running away with it created an enormous backlash. Hold on. He got two in a row. He's never even been in a finals. Now he's running away with his third. Look at Embiid. It also, I think, lit a fire under Embiid, who's already having an MVP season, to go get Jokic. Meantime, Embiid is perceived as having ducked the rematch with Jokic in Denver. So the odds went from Jokic was a good favorite to win it to Embiid was a big favorite to win it. Now it's even odds, essentially. Jokic and Embiid, night in and night out, it changes a little bit. Giannis is in third place. But you know what I think? I think because it's a perceived duck by Embiid and because of what happened with the backlash with Jokic, I think there's a real chance Giannis wins his MVP.
I think it's going to be a major push.
Giannis has had a better season than Jokic all year long, but that's a whole other conversation. Jay, what I wanted to do is get back on this Jason Tatum conversation because that's where we started at. If he wins a championship this year, this is Jason Tatum I'm talking about, Jay, does it change your mindset about what tier he's in and where he's at?
Well, Key, I would answer this question the same way you would answer the question. What does it look like? You know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, well, like, okay,
in,
so
in,
I mean,
in what fashion?
Let me rephrase that.
How about if there's a scenario, Key, where you're watching the NBA Finals and Jaylen Brown is the best player on the court?
Well, no, we're going to assume that Tatum is the best player on the court because the conversation is about Tatum having a rebound from a year ago championship and getting into the conversation with Giannis, because clearly if he isn't carrying the team to a championship and it doesn't look right, then he's not going to be in that tier.
But I'm trying to bring it back from we're going to assume, because I don't know what to assume, because I could easily assume that Jaylen Brown could be the best player on the court in the NBA Finals, right? And to me, when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, it's definitive that Giannis is the best player on that team. Like, Jrue Holiday is a top duo. I love what he does and what he brings, and he's one of the best players nobody talks about, but it's definitive to me. It's not definitive to me that Jason Tatum is the best player on the Boston Celtics team.
But is it definitive to the Boston Celtics front office that he's the best player on their team?
It seems like it. It seems like it from everything you hear from Jaylen Brown, but from, like, me watching it defensively, I know what Jaylen Brown brings to the table, and I know Jaylen Brown can be prolific.
Just showed the highlight of Giannis. Oh, my God.
It's different. He is so different. I'm not saying that Jason Tatum isn't different. Jason Tatum, nice as hell. He is my dude. Like, I think he's one of the top players in the league. I think Jaylen Brown's up there, too. But Giannis is just different.
It shows you what a difference, though, getting back to the original point you were talking about earlier. It shows you what a difference a final series, the highest leverage moments, make in the perception of a guy and where you think he is in the league.
But also, Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs.
No question. Like, but Tatum was trending there, and then in the playoffs was, oh, my God, and he's really a two-way player.
First NBA
and
Finals playoff
appearance. He's the best offensive player on the team, and they're running the offense and all this stuff. But when it came to the moment of truth, he didn't play well, right? Now, the entire perception of him, Key asked, is he in that top tier? He said, nope, he's in the second tier. Right, but he has top tier potential.
1,000%.
So he could do that right now. If he balls out right now, he's in that. As Key asked, he's in that top tier. Right, like these are the moments that define your legacy.
Agreed. But if I were to say, is Jason Tatum one of the most dominant players to ever play the game of basketball, Max? How would you answer that?
No, not yet.
If he wins a championship, is he one of the most dominant players? Dominant?
No.
Is Giannis one of the most dominant players to ever play the game of basketball?
Yes.
But Jay, let me ask you this, though. Since you asked the master, let me ask you, is it the style, though, with Giannis? Is it the fact that his physique, his length, his ability to take off from the free throw line and jam in your face? Is it that? Is that what is it? Because stuff that he just looks unstoppable. Like, right, I'm not getting in the way of that. I'm getting out of the way. Is it that? Is it that sort of stuff that makes you say one of the most dominant players that you've ever seen?
Yes, Key.
So it's style points, too, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a reason, as I mentioned earlier, Shaq said, that's the first guy I've seen since me. He could have the Superman nickname,
and he also
right?
Had defensive player of the year. I mean, he has that on his belt, man.
Yeah, he has a lot of
it's the entire package, Key. Yeah. It's still is. I mean, you used to. I remember, literally, my rookie year, LeBron James came when we were playing against Cleveland, mm-hmm. and he was pseudo like working out with us. And I saw him. I saw him in transition. I was like, damn, ain't nobody. I never seen a dude like this in transition. Giannis is the only player outside of LeBron that I'm like, damn, that looks different than LeBron in transition. I never thought I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up close and personal.
I never thought I would say that. It's so different.
Takes two steps.
No, up close and personal.
From half court, two steps, he's at the rim. You're like, what, two
steps? I've seen Giannis play about five times, Jay, five or six times. And, yeah, it's something to appreciate. That's for damn sure. In person, not on TV.
You need to see it up close.
You need to see it up close.
Giannis got his chip. Embiid doesn't. A lot of pressure on Embiid.
Jokic doesn't.
A lot of pressure on Jokic. Tatum, especially because of the way he played in the finals last year. A lot of pressure on Tatum. A lot of pressure on KD for me. We discussed it earlier based on – I know, he has time. You think he has time. No, it's not the same. Stop. Not the same. Ready made.
Draymond Green on the team, so they wouldn't win it. But if it's not the same,
yeah, but they would have won it with Paul George and a 50 other
okay,
guys.
So again, I go back to that. We're up against it, but we're going to revisit it again. Because you try to slide that in at the end when we're running out of time before we
got
to go
KD
to
got a lot of pressure on him. Booker, no, I was trying to get it earlier.
What if Devin Booker wins finals MVP? Does it make you look differently at Kevin Durant if he wins a chip?
No, if they chip up, no, it doesn't.
So does that change Kevin Durant's legacy to you?
You start from a point, I think. I'll tell you what I think the mistake you're making is coming up. Celtics and Bucks, hot ticket tonight. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
See
then we got to get
what
into
it. See what he does at KD Key? See what he does?
I will explain
I'm
to
a,
you
I'm
both.
I'm going
to
burn him up in a minute. I'm going to no let him
get his ass. You guys got this twisted.
Get in it.
All right, we're going to get into it.
Talking
KJM, ESPN
both
Radio.
Both sides of his ears.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Jay, I want to address something because you said you raised the kind of issue before we got out last segment, and we want to get on to Richard Sherman blaming Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for Lamar's contract drama. But I just want to address something you said. You said, I hold it against KD that he won the two chips on a 73-win Warriors team that he had joined. Or that if he wins the chip this year but Booker wins MVP, I'm going to hold of the finals, I would hold it against KD for a second. I think that you're not looking at it properly, and this is what I mean. You don't start out as the greatest of all time and then you take things away until you're not anymore. You start out with a clean slate, and then you add things up to see where everyone ranks versus each other, right? Because we're creating a hierarchy, this guy versus that guy. So it, KD's two championship MVPs do not hurt him. They help him. It puts him ahead of where he was previously. But it does not help him as much, in my view, as two MVPs on a regular powerhouse team instead of the winningest team of all time, mm-hmm. right? If he wins a championship in Phoenix, it enhances his legacy. He moves up, not down, if you're asking which way the arrow points. But not as much as if he wins a championship and wins MVP, unless there are extenuating circumstances. Clearly, it was this way because he was drawing so much attention. He kept making the right play. And, you know, so, but that's what I mean. It's not I'm holding it against someone, unless you mean it's in comparison to someone else, because then we are trying to create a hierarchy. So if one guy does the same thing as another guy but does it under different circumstances that to, in my view, add to the accomplishment, in that case, you might look at it as it, though I'm holding it against KD. It's not how I look at it. I just get more credit for certain things.
Okay, yeah, I understand in your eyes what you give more credit to. I just think whenever, regardless of what team you go to, even if that team has one of the best shooters or best scorers to ever play, and you win NBA Finals MVP, that is still an NBA Finals MVP sure. notch on the belt, but it feels like to you it gets diminished because of the team.
Compared,
even though
to,
people yes. on the team who have been in the locker room every single day, who know where their team stacks up against the rest of the league that was catching up to the Golden State Warriors, validate the greatness by saying we never win back-to-back chips without Kevin Durant.
I don't discount them to zero. But I do discount them compared to, say, a Jordan MVP in the finals where he went bananas and was clearly the best player in the world.
So it all goes back to how you perform in those high leverage moments. That's why I asked if Phoenix wins a championship, but D-Book is the guy that performs at the highest leverage moment. How does that make you look at KD? Does it still elevate you in the KD conversation of his overall legacy? Because it's not actually him leading the team.
No, but it depends.
It's him still going to somebody else's team. I don't see it that way, but I know some people might look at it that way. Do you look at Phoenix as KD's team or Devin Booker or CP3's team?
Probably CP3.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, so Max, I still let me give ask KD you, enormous credit if he wins the finals this year. Yeah.
So, Mr. Kellerman, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Where do you have Steph Curry ranked at
right all now? All time?
Legacy? Oh. Yeah.
He is
top 10?
Yeah, probably like 10.
And where's Kevin Durant in your eyes?
KD may be like 9 or 10. I go back and forth on those two.
So 9 and 10,
something like that. Steph
has two more championships.
Let me give you my
both
real ranking.
Kevin Durant.
Wait, hold
when
on, man.
When I do these rankings, KD and Steph float between 10 and 13. The two of them float between 10 and 13.
So 10 and 13, they float. Yeah. So a guy who you and Steph Curry basically, I don't want to say annihilated, but had question marks about Steph Curry because he hadn't won an MVP, but he wins an MVP in the finals, he's still sitting at 10 for you. So
he's at 10 now because of the MVP in the
finals. So he was like at 17.
No, he was like at 13. That's what he moved
so he
up
was
a
at 13.
Notches.
Okay. So he has how many chips, Jay?
He has 4.
So he has 4 chips and an MVP.
2 without Kevin Durant.
And 2 without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant joined him. Mm-hmm. You punish Kevin Durant because he joined him, and he won 2 chips, 2 MVPs. Mm-hmm. So if Kevin Durant now wins 1 chip in Phoenix, even though it doesn't account to the same amount of chips as Steph Curry, you then now parachute Kevin Durant in front of Steph Curry.
He has him in front of Steph Curry
because
now.
Because you're reducing to the only criteria.
He said 10-13, but Kevin Durant, Steph Curry's 10.
Key, you're reducing it to the only criteria being championships. Championships are an enormous piece of the puzzle, but they're not the only thing. We all saw when KD and Steph were on the same team, KD was the best player on the team. But Jay has made the argument, and I subscribe to
why are you speaking for me? Dude,
I was going to say, this is not about Jay. This is about me and you, Max, because I'm referring
to an argument that I subscribe to, but I'm giving credit to its author.
Yes, okay.
That the culture Steph created and the team he creates because he doesn't need the ball, because he shoots so well, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone wants to play with him. That continues with and without KD. He deserves credit for that. So okay, I'm giving him as a in a team sport, even if when they're all on the same team, KD looks better. If Steph wins the title again this year, he would move ahead of KD for me because it says something about what he created in Golden State.
One question, Key, and then I'll let
go ahead, sir.
To finish. Yep. Mr. Kellerman, how do you factor in Steph being the only unanimous MVP in the history of the NBA?
I don't care because he got whooped in the finals by a better player in LeBron James. Regular season MVP does not mean so much to me.
So that's before I wrap this up, I got one last question for you, Mr. Kellerman.
Yep.
If, in fact, Kevin Durant wins the championship this year, and given the fact that he had help in your eyes from the Golden State Warriors and winning the two championships and the two MVPs, does he go in front of Steph Curry right now if he wins that championship?
Yes.
No matter how he wins it, he goes in front of Steph Curry.
Even though,
let me finish there, Max. Even though you punish him for joining Steph Curry, wins one championship.
I started this segment by saying you don't look at it as he punishes. He gets credit. The question is credit? But less credit than someone who didn't do it on a 73-win team that didn't lose anything.
Judge Johnson, I just want to state for the record on national TV that Max Kellerman said the only player in the history of the NBA to ever win unanimous MVP is irrelevant to him. He does not factor it into as much.
How many people vote on a regular season MVP?
The only one
half the league.
Of the greatest players to ever walk this planet.
And then when the games got high leverage, the better player, LeBron James, won.
That doesn't matter.
Mr. Williams.
I can't.
Did Michael Jordan ever win that award?
No.
Unanimous?
No. Never.
How about LeBron James?
No. Never.
Great.
How about
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Before the games mean something, you
want to. How about Magic Johnson?
No, Mr. Johnson.
You
want to
know
never.
Who
How
wins
about
unanimous
Russell
MVP
Westbrook?
Of
no,
the games
I can say
that mean
for
less?
A fact. Russell Westbrook never unanimous MVP.
This guy won a unanimous MVP of the NFL preseason. That's almost the equivalent.
But
all
I can
certainly make the playoffs.
As we wrap this up, Mr. Kellerman.
Yeah.
The flip-flopping has got to stop, or else you'll be
consistent. There's no flip-flopping. It's completely consistent. I'm going to bring out sock puppets to explain it to you two, like in a play. All right. Is Richard Sherman blaming Patrick Mahomes?
We'll get to that next.
Josh Allen. Who else for Lamar Jackson?
This guy, 60 years. I'm going to give him 60 years in a hole.
60 years in a hole.
Well, all the geniuses were misunderstood in their own time. It's okay.
It'll take
generations to catch up. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Lamar's a heck of a talent, but man, we got a quarterback.
Everyone knows Lamar's skill set. Lamar's a stud. I'm sure they'll work it out there.
Time for us to get under the cap. He makes a lot of money, but he's a heck of a player.
Listening to the statements that were made, I was frustrated for him.
I'm a hustler, baby. Ho!
Rob Ninkovich, ESPN NFL analyst here on KJM ESPN Radio.
Nink!
Ninko!
Give it to me.
I don't know what's right there.
I just want you to know.
Nick, I feel like you will be a really fun dude to go out and have drinks. Oh, like if we were like sitting at a bar, all four of us, it would be a problem.
Oh, you'd have fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of
fun. We'd have a good time.
Yeah, good time.
Met up with a couple friends last time. We had fun.
Okay.
Yeah, just not a late night. Just, you know.
Early, yeah. Early bar night?
Early bar, just okay. A couple, and then you go home, get to bed, get up. Nice day today. Let's
there you
go.
Get
you say early bed night. Can we be out of there by 8 p.m.?
No.
No. Yeah.
Just, what's early to you? Because now doing this show.
I mean, 11.
Damn, I miss those days.
Is that early?
Well, Jay got to get up. If you leave, if Jay's in bed by midnight, he got 3 hours sleep.
By like 3:45.
You drive, yeah. So that don't work.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that.
No.
So,
yep.
Here's a question for you, Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah.
Is Richard Sherman blaming Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for Lamar Jackson's contract issues right now? Listen.
Let's see.
To the former cornerback, and was he cum laude, magna cum laude, or summa cum laude out of Stanford, Key?
I think it was Sue.
He was some loudy. He was loudy out of Stanford. He was loudy out of
Stanford. Sure, 100%.
And a great NFL player.
Whatever
and
the top five, he was like
whatever the best
top
thing
five.
Was.
Top five.
Richard Sherman, the Richard Sherman podcast. Listen to this.
What pissed me off is when Kirk Cousins got his fully guaranteed deal a couple years ago, I thought all the quarterbacks from then on were going to be like, hey, you know, if it ain't guaranteed, I ain't taking it. Then Mahomes took that BS deal just 10 years and wanted to look like $500,000. Like, but if you get a half of that fully guaranteed, everybody's happier. Everybody goes, that sets precedent. But when he didn't set it, then Josh Allen didn't set it. Now Lamar's trying to set it after Deshaun's already set it. And they're like, nah. Nah, we ain't letting that go.
What do you think, Nick?
This is the tricky part. If I have a number in my head that I get, that's my number. I don't care about your number or your number.
Tell them,
what is your number? My number is X. Oh, you're going to give me $100 million. Okay, $100 million. Okay, so if I get $50 million after taxes – and I throw it in a 5%, 6% return conservatively, I can't spend that. My kids can't spend that. My kids' kids can't spend that.
You thought about this.
I think about it all the time. So, like, you know, when you're going through your contract, you know, I had a number in my head. When I got that number, I said, I'm good. So I can't
So some other
tell,
linebacker was mad I, at you? What would
I
you tell
no,
them?
No, hell no. They weren't mad at me. They're like, Nico, you can get more. I'm like, I don't need more. I'm good right where I'm at. Like, if I get greedy, I might go play for a team that stinks. Like, yeah. Everyone has their own number. I don't care what you get guaranteed. If you get your number and I get my number, great. Have a great life. I don't care about the guarantee. If that guy's happy and he signs a $500 million contract and he walks away with $200 million and he's happy and he can have his boats and his cars and his nice house and his kids are good.
Good for him.
Like Richard Sherman signed a nice contract. He made good money. Like, okay, yeah. Like great. Enjoy your contracts and your money. Everyone else has different numbers. That's it.
The thing that for me, Nick, is Rich is smart. One of my friends, good friends here in LA. Extremely smart, bright. But I'm having a hard time understanding what he's actually talking about because Richard Sherman did his own deal, so he knows how contracts are.
Yeah.
Not only that, when you talk about Kirk Cousins' deal, Max, as you know, Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed deal. That sounds sexy, right? Fully guaranteed. That's like, wow. But Kirk Cousins only signed like a 3-year deal. I think it was 3 years of fully guaranteed. So if you take and you say, that same number that he got, I don't even remember what it was, whatever it was, and you take that 3 years of money and you add another 4 years onto that deal and turn it into a 7-year deal, but you get that same money in 3 years, but they need to stretch it out because of the cap situation and prorate it, but your first 3 years are guaranteed. What's wrong with that? Or if you look at Patrick Mahomes' deal, for instance, and you go, well, he signed a deal 10 years, $500 million, so it can look sexy. What is he touching in the first 3 years? Is he getting $150 million of that in the first 3 years? Yeah, he's getting $150. Okay, they got to see me again. They got to see me again and restructure my deal because I got about $300 million that's left that's going to explode the salary cap. So now they got to give me $200 million of guaranteed money on the next 4 years.
Right, so really
so
the guarantee.
$350 million over the first 6 years of a deal.
This is really the issue when you boil it down, right? It's a full contact violent sport. The guarantee means you guarantee really against injury is really what you're doing, because the way Key breaks it down, so long as Mahomes doesn't have some career altering injury, he's likely to see more than the $500 million because they're going to have to keep going back, keep redoing it. But there is something to be said for the fact that it's a violent sport and every play may be your last, right?
Yeah, but when you're going through your contracts and you sign a contract knowing I'm going to make $100 million. I just say 100. Say you're going to make $100 million. If you're good with that, if you never play another snap, you make $100 million. I understand, you need to get the fully guaranteed based on
injury. Can't let someone else dictate that to you.
Like, yeah. I don't – okay, if you want to hold out and get a fully guaranteed contract, go do it. I'm cool with making my $100 million guaranteed.
I think wants that $100 million.
I think that's a gamble that Lamar Jackson, because people say, okay, after I've had time to think about it, we'll sit out and see what Joe Burrow gets, see what Jalen Hurts gets. And Key said it the other day, he thinks Jalen Hurts is going to get, what is that, Key, 180 guaranteed or something like that?
Yeah,
and
he
thinks
about
around that number.
Here's the thing.
But like going back to your original point, like if people feel like, hey, look, 160 is
what if somebody is in your group? You got a guy that you really trust, right? You got a financial guy. He goes, listen, take the money right now. Take your 150. If you stay and you win, we'll double that. We'll make more than that. If you're good and you win, like if you can create a career and a legacy, like for example, Tom, he made less in his career than other players. He made more in the back end. He's making more off the field. Like, he's making 375 in the booth. If he didn't have the career, he wouldn't get that. So some guys just keep searching, like, hey, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to get as much money as I can. Okay. Then they don't have anything to show for it except for just the money. And at the end of the day, when I walk out of this building and I go see people up in New York and in Boston, that 150 or 200 million – I know people that are 9 billion, 5 billion, billionaires. Like, that money is real money, right? And if you get in with the right people and you can network yourself, you could take that too. I mean, look at Magic Johnson. Look what Magic Johnson did with his money in his career.
Well, I'm not going to say that 160 guaranteed isn't real money. I mean, it's real money.
No, I'm saying it's real money in comparison to
Robert Kraft,
and to
the owners,
these
there are levels to this, yes,
like,
agreed.
All these owners – okay, they started
like the Walton family,
Walmart, and Falcons is Home Depot. And
Arthur Blank.
These dudes are bazillionaires. They understand. Okay, we can give you this much. They understand. We don't want to go fully guaranteed because it is a contact sport. If we do that for this, then we got to do it for everybody.
Same reason they want the fully guaranteed on the other side.
Exactly.
But the fully guaranteed stuff isn't – it's the money that you get in your first several years of the deal. That's the fully guaranteed, Nick.
Yeah.
That's your money.
I get it. That's
your
money.
So I don't understand why everybody keeps saying fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed. Like, if you can get a –
go shorter like the NBA.
Yes. If you could get a number – that you're happy at the end of the day, if you get a number that you look at and you say, I can set myself up, this is plenty, I can make a great life for myself and provide and continue on and make something with this, my number's 50, my number's 10. Some guys come from their number might be 10, like literally, I need 10 in the bank.
And what is your legacy worth?
See,
for me, I think legacy is very important. Unless anyone anywhere offers me half a red halfpenny more, then I'm taking that. But other than that, legacy is important.
Just a quick thing, yes. There was a time where I was going through contract negotiation and I had an opportunity to go to, and I'm not back when I was playing, Cincinnati, Cleveland. Like, if you went to those places, sure, you might be able to grab more money. But in 2 years, your head coach might be gone. And you're out with the new
your career, your quality of life, your future.
I can guarantee you, hey, Nink, when you was playing, I can guarantee you one thing.
What's that?
you wouldn't have two Super Bowl rings.
That's and listen,
exactly.
And you don't, and I wouldn't be sitting here and having you lovely gentlemen ask me questions, because if I played for those teams back when I was playing and I had nothing to show for my career, I would just have the cash.
I would just like to point out real quick, we got to get out of here. But
all right, sorry.
But, you know, the Major League Baseball, for example, like the NFL kind of gassed the players. Like, you can have your cake and eat it too. Major League Baseball, there's no cap, there's no nothing, there's guaranteed contracts, and you can choose where you want to go, right? The NFL has you thinking it must be a choice, because they've done very well in negotiations with the players, and yet this is the reality we're dealing with. That's Rob Ninkovich. His number is $100 million. He clears 50. He's good.
50.
That's
clear
it.
Clear 50. You're good, man.
MLB opening day is here, speaking of Major League Baseball. A lot of focus on the new rules, guys. If you could change one rule in any sport, what would it be, KJM?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Baseball opening day. Ho-ho. Yankees starting in a handful of hours. 1:05 start time. Gerrit Cole on the bump. Use of the pitch clock, guys, shaved 26 minutes off of spring training games this year compared to last year's. Major League Baseball is set to use it in actual games for the first time beginning today. Jay, do you like the new pitch clock?
You know, look,
I'm relatively
a new baseball fan. I've enjoyed it thus far. I think it increases the tempo of the game, it feels like to me. It gives me – I think sometimes in baseball, I'm going to tell you, like, I guess basketball, I'm like a functioning ADHD person, right? Like there's so many, I got a shot clock, I got all these things I got to pay attention to. Whereas in baseball, I sometimes just get fixated on watching stillness, or it feels like it's stagnant, right? So now with the pitch clock, it gives me something to pay attention to. And there's also gamesmanship, right? Like literally a pitcher waiting all the way into the end, making somebody wait. Like I like that style because it gives me an extra dimension to add to the excitement to baseball.
Key, what do you think of the pitch clock?
I don't like it. And maybe because I like the fact that the batter gets up there, he could just, you know, think, make his mind up, you know, get in his stance, feel the air. I like all that. I don't look at it as making the game long and slow. I just don't.
So let me tell you how I feel about it. And I'm a baseball fan from way back, Jay, mm-hmm. and like a purist traditionalist and all that. I like it. And it increases, you know, really what it does is cut out a lot of the dead time. Now, yes. Key to your point, in life there are always trade-offs. So what you're trading off is some of the drama building, the pace of the game, the leisurely feeling in the summertime, right? You could keep it on as wallpaper.
I mean, I'm not even talking about television. You go to the game. Think about it, Max. I could, because, you know, I'm going to sit down low, right? And I got to walk all the way up to the restroom.
Right.
And I come all the way back down. And I didn't miss anything. What did he do? Oh, he fouled off a couple balls. He's still there. What's the pitch count? Well, he's 1-2.
And there was a line for the hot dog, and you still get back. But this is what I'm saying, guys. So I get it, Key. I get what the trade-off is. But what I think that's really about, and the reason I do like it in the end, I like things better in certain ways the way they used to be, right? Mm. But those days are gone. And I think most of what people lament when things change is they miss the world they once knew. That world is gone. It is never coming back. A world in which baseball, at its previous pace, could compete with young fans. Like, you know, with basketball and football in the marketplace.
But wait, but Max, see, you said it's gone, right? The world has changed. It's gone.
Yep.
Well, what happened to the shift? It's back. No more shift.
Well, this I think that's a separate thing.
But and no, I'm saying you thought, just like I thought, oh, God, this is the shift. It's going to be here. 8 years ago when they implemented it, I think it was about 8 years ago, whatever it was, that they put that in. It was like, oh, no, man, you're killing the game.
Yeah, because some things you want to keep the way they were, but pace was something like you're cutting out a lot of dead moments that you and I might like for various reasons, but the bottom line is things really aren't happening. Versus the shift. The shift, to me, that rules change, is sometimes the most efficient way to play a game is not fan-friendly. For example, the way the NBA is played today, Jay, 3-3-3-3-3-3-3. It's not my favorite style of play. Maybe more efficient. Or a guy like James Harden getting to the line or shooting threes, no mid-range. Might be the most efficient way to play, not the most pleasing for a fan. And you know what you do sometimes if it gets overboard that way? Like in the UFC and MMA, you know, the most efficient way of fighting actually is very minute movements on the ground in a wrestling position. Mm. Eventually, Dana White's like, man, people don't like this. We're going to stand you up. Because that's, to me, what the shift is about. That rules change. Yes, it's more efficient to play this way, but it's not consumer-friendly. It's not a good consumer product. We're going to change the rules to make it more like what we want. And I think that's the same thing with the pitch clock key, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys both a question. So obviously there have been changes made in Major League Baseball, and it leads to the question that if you could change something in any other sport, how do you think you would better the sport? Because for me, I'll just go to what we have coming up this week in the Final Four. It is a travesty that the women's game has moved to four quarters and the men's game in college basketball has not moved to four quarters yet. I just don't understand it. It makes the game more efficient. Like even like a timeout in the backcourt, we should advance the ball. There are certain things that I feel like we should just more so create more temporary like rules for college basketball where the women's game is way more advanced than the men's right now. How about you, Max?
I mean, look, I hate to say it, like in boxing, I know it's safer for the fighters as a pure spectator. 15-round fights, man. Love those. And now they're 12, but I get it. It's a safety issue. I think if you take a sport like tennis, when they went to graphite rackets from wood rackets, it killed the men's game. Serve, 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 right? You know what I mean? Where's Boris Becker and these dudes, right? With those crit. That was so exciting. And to me, it kind of killed the men's game. But, you know, so there's one. I wish they went back to the older rackets. What about you, Key?
In terms of changing the game from a rule standpoint?
Yeah.
I like when you look at the NFL, some of the pass interference stuff is just egregious. I think they should have figured out how to make that work. I think they should try to figure out how to make it work because when guys are getting grabbed and, you know, mugged and referees act like nothing happened, that's problematic because it could change a complete game.
KJM, much more coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.